The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to verses 49. It is page 100 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Allow me to read the words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Amen. In Luke chapters 12 and 16, Jesus mentions parables about a rich man. The rich man in chapter 12 had harvested a lot of grains from his field. The amount of the grains was so much so that the barn could not store it all, even if the harvests were stacked from the very entrance to deep inside the barn and from the floor to the ceiling. So the rich man came up with a plan to build a barn that was incomparably larger than the previous one to store his huge amount of harvests. He also stored various things that he thought would make his life meaningful and valuable in the barn, together with the harvested grains. And then he said to himself, "My spirit, you have stored many things in the barn to last you for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry from now on." Now this rich man thought that his stock of grain and goods would guarantee him to live for many years that will come. The literal meaning of many years means a lot of years. So essentially, the rich man was pretty sure that his stockpile of grain and goods would ensure his life for at least the upcoming several decades. At the time, the average lifespan would not have been that long, so he probably thought that what he had gained would guarantee him to live the rest of his life free of any worries. And then God said to the rich man, "You foolish man, I will take your soul back from you tonight. Who do you think will own all of your belongings that you have so fervently gathered?" The rich man was thinking of many years to come, that is, for the upcoming long time for the rest of his life, but God was actually thinking of tonight. The word "take back" means to withdraw deposits in the bank accounts, or it could mean to get back what was lent to a neighbor or a friend. The rich man thought that his soul, as well as his grain and goods, belonged to him and himself only, and that he could do whatever he wanted with them. But in reality, his grain, goods, and soul were not his own, and that is why God was shaking his head as he looked upon this rich man. The rich man couldn't remember God, who was truly important, all because of his possessions. He thought that his grains and goods would protect him, but rather, they eventually became weapons to attack him at the end of the day. If the rich man had been thinking that he will be rich for the subsequent years to come, but found out that everything will be taken away tonight, what song would he sing? I lived like a fool. I lived like a fool. If I can only find the ears that have been shed, how good would it be? I lived like a fool. Another rich man is mentioned in Luke chapter 16 as well. This rich man wore purple garments as his outer garments, and fine linen as his undergarments, and enjoyed all kinds of luxury every day. Purple clothing back then were made with purple dye that was extracted from clams or shellfish, and it was worth one full year's of a laborer's wage, given that they did not spend a single penny. So such clothing could not have been worn by ordinary people, and were worn only by the royalty, nobles, or the very rich. And the fine linen was an undergarment made of Egyptian fine linen. At that time, the finest linen was sold by weight, and it was expensive enough to be twice the price of gold. Granted, a person wearing such clothes would not want to eat simple food or any food from outdoor markets. They would want to eat on a huge table full of food, such as fish and meat. Also, those who wear such clothing and eat such food would not live in an ordinary or shabby house. They must have lived in huge mansions with massive stone gates like that of an ancient city gate. And the rich man in Luke chapter 16 also threw lavish parties every day. In front of the gate of this rich man's house lived a beggar called Lazarus. The fact that Lazarus did not walk on his own and was abandoned means that he was physically handicapped. No one knows why he had become a handicap or who had done so, but no one, including his parents and family, wanted to live with him. And Lazarus did not live off the food that the rich man would so generously donate to him after the parties. Rather, he filled his hungry stomach by the food that was fallen from the table. Back then, there were no such things as napkins, nor tools like forks, knives, and spoons. So since most of the food were eaten with hands, the guests' hands would often become dirty while eating. In wealthy households, they would put loaves of bread on the table for their guests. So the guests would eat food with their hands and wipe the remaining food on the loaves of the bread by breaking the loaves of bread and would throw them away. And Lazarus would pick up that bread and eat them to survive. In time, death has found both Lazarus and the rich man alike. The people who appear in Jesus' parables have no names. In the parable of the talent, no single name is mentioned for the servants who have actually received the talents, no name of the shepherd who went out to find the sheep that left the pen, no name of the woman looking for the lost coin or drachma, and no name of the second son who left the house. Of course, the name of the older son who remained behind at home was also not mentioned. The only name that appears in Jesus' parable is Lazarus. Lazarus in Hebrew means Eliezer, which means God is my help. Lazarus could never have lived without God's help. In taking the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Plains, Lazarus was one of the poor, the hungry, and the weeping. So after Lazarus died, he ended up in Abraham's arms. This means that Lazarus enjoyed the same grace that Abraham has enjoyed. On the other hand, hand, what awaited the rich was the hollows or the Sheol, a place of pain and punishment. To alleviate some of the pains, the rich man has asked Abraham to send Lazarus to him and dip his fingertip in the water to cool his tongue. But Abraham simply shook his head and said that this place and the place that the rich man was in cannot be crossed whatsoever. This rich man did not go to Sheol simply because he had many possessions. It was because his many possessions have blocked him from lifting up his eyes so that he could see the true God. A life that is blind to God means that the man was also blind to the pain of his neighbors, and that's why he eventually ended up in such pain and punishment. The rich man must have deeply regretted the life that he had lived in the world. And upon realizing this, he wanted to send Lazarus to tell his five brothers still living on the earth to testify about what they will go through after death, so that they would not have to go through the same pain. This rich man was wildly mistaken and thought that even after death, he could still control Lazarus to his wish. Upon hearing the request, Abraham again shook his head again and said that they had Moses and the prophets, the Bible, to learn from, so that they should learn from the Bible. If this rich man were denied even a drop of water to cool his tongue in the hollows, and his request to visit his five brothers in the land of the living was refused, what song would he have sung? I lived like a fool. I lived like a fool. If only I could find back the ears that have been shed, how good would it be? I lived like a fool. Today's script mentions the conclusion of the teachings of the Sermon on the Plains by Jesus after he came down from the mountains after selecting the disciples. All the other scriptures are important, but today's words are especially so. Jesus is essentially saying that even if we live in faith diligently, it may all be in vain at the end of the day. Verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As he concluded his teachings on the plain, Jesus says that we should become the believers of life and disciples of life, not the believers of the lips and disciples of the lips. The Gospel of Luke and Acts were meant to be sent to Theophilus, who was a high official, a doctor, historian, and a fellow worker of Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. The former book in this scripture means the Gospel of Luke. Luke begins the book of Acts by reminding Theophilus of his first writing, which is the Gospel of Luke. So a summary of the chapter of Luke will be a record or an account of the teachings from the beginning that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. However, there are many scriptures and words in the Gospels, including the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plains, that refer to the parables of the kingdom of God or the end of the times. But Luke says that the life of Jesus starts from the beginning of Jesus' doing and teaching. In other words, Jesus came to this earth and started his doings first before teaching. The reason why Jesus' teaching is the truth and becomes an eternal milestone for us is because Jesus himself has lived the life of doing. So teaching without the corresponding actions or doing is meaningless and is just an empty cry. Jesus came to this earth, lived the life of the kingdom of God himself, and saved our lives forever by giving his own life. And this is how the Lord's teachings became the gospel of truth. There is a saying that goes, 언행일치 in Korean, which means one's action should match their words. This is used when one's action and words are aligned, or when one acts according to what they say. But Luke says that Jesus did not align his actions to his words first, but vice versa, and matched his words to his actions or doings. Those who were disciples of Jesus who matched his words to his actions were sent by Jesus and eventually became apostles. The story of the faith is not called the words of the apostles, but acts of the apostles. It is because these apostles did not only imitate Jesus' words, but his actions and doings as well. That is why our lives should also become an account of what we have acted or done, rather than what we have said. Only then can we live as the Lord's hands and feet, and as the Lord's passageway. Verse 46 of today's scripture clearly testifies to the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The people in the scripture repeatedly called out to Jesus, Lord, Lord. And this expresses great religious fervor. But Jesus says that even if one calls the Lord out loud, it does not guarantee one to enter the kingdom of God. Those who repeatedly called out to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have done the work of the prophecy in their name, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name drove out demons, and in Jesus' name performed many miracles. Essentially, they practiced their religion with great fervor. But Jesus did not acknowledge all those efforts at all. Likewise, we must be able to check whether our faith could be acknowledged and recognized by the Lord or not. Keeping us in check can only be done on this earth. I started to work as a youth pastor since 1992. 30 years have passed since then. Preparing a sermon as a pastor, sharing the sermon, and preparing for the Bible study was difficult back then, and it's even more difficult now. I am fully aware of the extent of my abilities, and I know my limits as well. And this is why it is such a daunting task to preach and share the Word of God. However, what is more terrifying and daunting than preaching or sharing the words of the Bible is the fact that I can still be held by the secular values while I teach the words of God. A job that may seem holy on the outside does not actually guarantee oneself's holiness. One can live a very secular life with a job that looks very holy. And on the other hand, One can live a very holy and distinguished life, even though one has a job that looks very secular on the outside. The high priest Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were both priests. Although they were priests, they not only did not know God, but also lived the most worldly lives. If someone like Hophni and Phinehas said, "In the name of the Lord, we have done our works as priests, and we have presented the sacrifices of the people to God, and we have done all the work in the house of God," the Lord will say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." So what song would one sing in front of the seat of judgment when they found out that all of their works as priests, their works to cast out evil demons, and their work on performing great miracles have been all in vain and judged as meaningless by God? "I lived like a fool. I lived like a fool. If I can only find the tears that have been shed, how good would it be? I lived like a fool." Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Plains by giving an example, verses 47 to 49 in today's scripture. "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Jesus also concluded the Sermon on the Mount by giving an example. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." A lot of Christians actually misinterpret these words. One often misperceives the words to be like that of the parable in the storybook, The Three Little Pigs, written by Joseph Jacobs, a British fairy tale writer from Australia. And the story goes like this. "Once upon a time, three little pigs ate porridge in the morning and went out to play. Then one day, Mama Pig called them out and said, 'Now that you have all grown up, build your own house and live separately. Instead, you should always be aware of the wolf.' So the three little pigs bid their goodbyes to their mother and went on their separate ways. The first pig met a farmer carrying sheaves of straw on the road, received straw from him, and built a straw house right away. Then he went outside and played all day and had fun. Then he met a wolf on his way back home. The first pig quickly ran into the house and locked the door, but the wolf inhaled and exhaled a huge breath and said, 'Shoo,' and the straw house flew away. The wolf swallowed the first pig in one bite without even chewing. The second pig also met a woodcutter carrying bundles of wood on his way, got wood from him, and built a house of wood. And it didn't take that long to build the house. And he also went outside and played the whole day, but met a wolf on his way back home. The second pig also quickly ran into the house and locked the door, but the wolf inhaled and exhaled a huge breath and said, 'Shoo,' and the treehouse flew away. The wolf also gulped the second pig in one bite without even chewing. The third pig also met a worker carrying bricks on the road, got the bricks from him, and built a house of bricks. And it took a long time to build the house. He cultivated the land, made a field for farming, and sowed seeds. Then he met the wolf. The third pig quickly ran into the house and locked the door. The wolf, again, breathed in and out with all his might until the buttons on his coat fell off, and then exhaled chew, but the house did not even budge. So the wolf changed the strategy and suggested, "Let's go to the field at 6 o'clock tomorrow and pull the radishes together." The third pig agreed, and he went out to the field at 5 p.m. the next day to pick radishes and returned home. At 6 o'clock, the wolf came to the house and said, "Let's go out to the field." But the third pig replied, "I have already plucked out the radishes and I'm cooking the porridge." The next morning, the wolf came back and said, "Let's go pick apples at 5 tomorrow." The next day, the third pig went out first and early to pick the apples when the wolf came by. The third pig was afraid, but after picking an apple, he asked, "Hey, do you want to eat this?" He tossed the apple down the hill as hard as it could and ran away quickly to the house when the wolf went to get it downhill. Angry at being repeatedly tricked by the third pig, the wolf tried to climb the ladder down into the chimney of the third pig's house. The third pig was boiling water in a cauldron. The wolf tripped over the steam and smoke and eventually fell into the pot. So the third pig quickly closed the lid of the pot, boiled the wolf, and ate it for dinner. Another version of the story says that the third pig rescued the first and the second brother pigs from the wolf's stomach, and that the three of them ate the wolf. The difference between the three houses that the three little pigs built were the materials. Depending on the material, the wolf could blow it away with one breath or could not. But Jesus did not mention anything about the materials of building a house. He did not say that we need to build a house with steel, concrete, or marbles so that the house does not come tumbling down. Instead, Jesus mentioned the foundation on which a house should stand. He said that those who listened to the word of the Lord and those who did it, and those who did not build the houses, the results were different depending on where that foundation was. So in other words, Jesus is saying that the wise man who listened to the word of God and lived a life based on that word, while the foolish man listened to the word of the Lord but did not live a life based on the word of God, but only based on his own desires and worldly values. So the verse that we see today is not a simple comparison between the diligent and the lazy, but between the wise and the foolish. In this parable, the wise man who heard of the word of the Lord and put it to practice, dug deep and strengthened the foundation where he built his house. On the other hand, the foolish man who also heard the words of the Lord alike did not build his house by digging a deep hole, but simply built it right on the sand. So the two houses may look identical on the outside, with no difference whatsoever. Both houses were built on the same surface area, and the internal structure was also the same. The building materials used were also the same. The direction of the house was towards the south, and the location, size, number of doors and windows were all the same. But one house was built on the rock, and the other was built on the sand. And that was the only difference. The basics were different. What is important in this parable is that when there is floodwaters and muddy currents that comes our way, the houses One house will stand while other will not. The torrent visits every house, regardless of the type of house. The torrent of life or turbulence will also find everyone. It's just that the size and shapes will be different. There is no one in this world who does not experience a single torrent at least once in their life. When building a house, you must decide where to build it before you build it. Once you start building, or once you have done building the house, you cannot change the foundation. If you build a house on a foundation that cannot be built in a firm way, you will eventually be in trouble later. It is only on this earth that we can check upon ourselves on whether we are living a life worthy of God's people, whether we are becoming disciples worthy of the Lord's disciples, and whether we are living a good Christian life that bears good fruits. When one stands in the front of the judgment table, there is only assessment and judgment, and one can no longer fix what one has built there. Jesus talks about the righteous foundation on which we must build our faith and life on. 1 Corinthians verses 10 to 11. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This verse tells us of the foundation on which we must build our faith and life, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus did not tell us what kind of materials we need to use in order to build a house, nor the width or the height of the house. Jesus only mentions the foundation. The materials and height of the houses are different from each other and will be judged accordingly because God has given us all different talents. But the foundation on where the house was built will be judged the same. Even so, we are only interested in the houses that we will be building. How high it is built, how wide, and what kind of high-quality materials were used. However, if that foundation on which the house was built is not righteous, it will eventually collapse. Palestine has many desert areas, so it's not an easy task to build a house among the large rocks and sand scattered here and there. So usually, people in Palestine would find a large rock, flatten it, and build a house on it. However, because there were no large rocks to flatten it, and no excavators as we have today, it was very difficult to build a house. There were places where the sand was hardened just like that of a stone between rocks, and that place was flat and hard like a stone, and it was easier to build a house on that sand. So people in Palestine would use to build houses on the sand that looked like a rock. Bordering on the Mediterranean Sea, Israel had hot but very dry summers and cold and wet winters. This is why the winter season is actually the rainy season in Israel. When it rains heavily in the winter and the muddy currents and torrents flow and the wind blows hard, all of these houses were washed away. So Jesus, who was a carpenter, must have known very well what kind of foundation to build a house on. The foundation and the very foundation of our life is Jesus Christ. The foundation of our lives is the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. If one does not build their lives and faith on Jesus Christ and on the Word of God, one may be washed away when the wind blows in their lives, rain falls, and the torrent comes their way. What song will you sing when you build your life's house not on the rock, who is Jesus Christ, and on the Word of God, but on your own desires and worldly values, and your life is judged as meaningless before the judgment seat? What song will you sing? I lived like a fool. I lived like a fool. If I can only find the tears that have been shed, how good would it be? I lived like a fool. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, celebrating the Lord and hoping for His return. The reason why Jesus came to this earth is to rescue us in eternity, who can't help but sing, I lived like a fool. So no matter how high a house we build on this land, no matter how big a house we build, no matter how many expensive materials that we have used in order to build the house, if the foundation is based on our own desires and our worldly values, then it is not the house that the Lord had wanted us to build. The time where we take our last breath on this earth is approaching by each second, even as we speak. Let us all build our faith and life on the rock. When we build our lives and beliefs on Jesus Christ and the Word of Truth, we can finally put an end to the life of singing, I lived like a fool. And at that time, in the season of Advent and Christmas, will become the season of truth and life and the season of hope. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, every year at the beginning of the new year, we make firm resolutions to live a new, faithful, and righteous life. But at the end of the year, we often end up in regrets or remorse. Thank you for clarifying your message through the sermon today, through today's message. Like the two rich fools, we try to make our lives and faith the basis of what we had. And we also confess that we try to base ourselves on our talents and our circumstances only. In fact, even though we had no choice but to sing and confess, I lived like a fool, you did not view us as a fool, but guided and works on us every moment of our lives. And I confess that we were able to come this far by your grace. On the third Sunday of Advent, let us make a decision once again to build our lives and faith on the rock of the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Lord's Word, so that when we stand before God, let us confess, Ebenezer, you helped us build our lives up until this point, instead of singing, I have lived like a fool. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.